Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. This being November and around the time of the 11th of November, we're all in the mood for a bit of remembrance. So let's do that tonight. So let's begin with the last post. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, exactly 90 years ago now, the armistice came into effect, ending the First World War. We also remember now other wars, the Second World War, or right now we have Iraq, Afghanistan, the War on Terror, and there'll be many more wars in between times. So we join with countless millions of people around the world, remembering before God all these different wars and the suffering and the grief that they cause, the triumph and the heroism of the human spirit in adversity. We remember the enabling power of God which is able to bring us through everything. And we remember the blessings which we enjoy today because of the sacrifices of others and ourselves. To help us to remember, we have poppies. We wear them on our lapels or we have them in wreaths. The red colour reminds us of the blood that was shed. The picked poppy reminds us of lives plucked in the full bloom of their prime. The hole in the centre of the wreath and the black centre of the poppy reminds us of the emptiness and loss in our hearts due to the absence of loved ones. And the circular wreath reminds us of the need for united and unending remembrance. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we shall remember them. Let's say we pray. Lord God, we pray today for the peace of the world. We pray for all statesmen and women. Give them wisdom and moral courage to work for a better world order. We pray for all who serve in the armed forces and for those who wait for their return. And we pray for all who fight the good fight daily in the wars against crime and disease, poverty, ignorance, injustice, the war against drugs, terrorism or hunger. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there's hatred, let us sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's discord, union. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do your will. Lord, grant us more zeal, eyes that see, ears that hear, mouths that speak, feet that run, hands that reach out, whole beings totally committed in word, thought and deed, morning, noon and night. Amen. Now here's a song. It really comes from the Vietnam War, but it's a timeless piece that could be from any war. It's Paul Hardcastle's 19.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. 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 But heavy the fighting of the past 2 weeks continued today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
Soldier typically served a 12-month tour of duty, but was exposed to hostile fire almost every day.
700 enemy troops were killed last week in that sensitive border area. Throughout all of South Vietnam, the enemy lost a total of 2,689 soldiers.
In 1914, the First World War started. Lord Kitchener's face was on many advertising posters, with his finger pointing at the reader and his eyes somehow following you no matter where you stand looking at the poster. And the caption was, "Your king and country need you." So many British young people signed up to fight in what was called the War to End All Wars. How wrong could they be? And they thought they would be home by Christmas. They were wrong about that too. In my home village of Inveralachie in Aberdeenshire, a young lad in his late teens was getting ready to leave home and go to war. His dad pulled him aside and gave him some parting words of advice. "Look, son, when you get over there, don't get sidetracked by anything. Just shoot the Kaiser, the leader of the Germans. That will end the war at a stroke, so just shoot the Kaiser." We smile at such naivety. How we wish that life could be that simple, but unfortunately it's not. You cannot stop a world war by shooting one man, even if he is the Kaiser. But here we are, 90 years later. We have precision bombers. If we take the logic of our modern warfare mentality, we could just drop one precise smart bomb on bin Laden's head, and that would seemingly end Al-Qaeda and terrorism. Or maybe one precision bomb on Robert Mugabe, or more recently on Milosevic or Saddam Hussein might have done the trick. It was said in World War II that Hitler did not make Germany go squint. A squint Germany produced an Adolf Hitler. And if not Adolf Schickelgruber, there would have been 1,000 other Hitlers. If you cut a dandelion head, it just grows another one. If the underlying conditions are right for it, crime, terrorism, injustice, war will flourish. It's more complicated than simply shoot the Kaiser or chop off the head. The same is true on the other side of the coin. You cannot stop good by martyring the leaders. Cutting down Martin Luther King did not stop the civil rights movement in America. Feeding early Christians to lions or burning Christians at the stake did not stop the spread of Christianity. Indeed, it only served to accelerate it. The Christian church has always grown disproportionately rapidly in the face of persecution and declined in apathy and ease, ironically. Crucifying Jesus did not nip Christianity in the bud. Jesus rightly predicted, "If I be lifted up on a cross, I will draw all men to myself." When the Kaiser and his troops shot dead that young man from Inveralachie, it did not stop others taking up the struggle. Fraserburgh, nearby my village, suffered a terrible lifeboat disaster in 1972. All the crew were drowned, but within 24 hours, there was a completely new crew. In New York, at September 11th, in 2001, 300 firefighters and police were killed. In the few weeks afterwards, their posts were all filled again.
Though you do. proving me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no, there's something inside so strong.
So whether on the good or on the evil side of the equation, it's never as simple as cut off the head and the body will die. We will not solve terrorism in the world today simply by killing Osama bin Laden. One Osama bin Laden will easily be replaced by another Osama bin Laden. Indeed, killing one Osama will probably create a martyr who spawns 10 little Osama bin Ladens. History teaches us that we have not only to win the little battles, we've also to win the war. And we have not only to win the war, we have to win the peace. It's arguable that in 1914 to 18, we won the First World War, but in 1919 onwards, we made such a mess of the peace that we sowed the seeds of the Second World War. So what is the moral to the tale? It's no good just running around the garden, cutting off the dandelion heads. Rather, we need to get to the root of things, to address the underlying causes, to get to the heart of the matter, to go to the jugular, to tackle things at the fundamental level. Don't just pull out a few weeds here and there when they annoy you beyond a certain level, but radically redesign the garden, do a lot of double digging, prepare the soil, nurture what is good and healthy, constantly be vigilant, endlessly weed out anything harmful. Vigilance and hard work never end. Focus on winning the peace before the war. Thatch your cottage before the rain. Prevent little children becoming hooligans rather than chase big youths and adults once they have become hooligans. How does all this translate into daily living? Well, don't just go to the dentist when the toothache becomes unbearable, when it leaves you no choice, when you just have to do something about it. Fix up 6 monthly checkups, eat more sensibly, brush your teeth regularly. Prevention and nurture is better than radical surgery. The same applies to the doctor. Why do we hesitate to regularly work at our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health? Maybe because it's hard work, or because it's not seen as urgent, or it's pain before any gain, and we like to avoid pain. There's a bit of cowardliness. We like it soft and easy. We're in danger of being a silver spoon, couch potato, fat cat society. What we remember and honour and admire today is our predecessors and our colleagues who in the past got out of their couch, stood up and were counted, who fought for, suffered pain for, even died for, the betterment of this world. If we admire it, then let us in our time and place, in our generation, also do it. The real struggle is not against Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Afghanistanis, Muslims, terrorists. The real struggle is within each of us, within our society, and within our global village. Here's Dolly Parton to sing about it.
Hello, God. Are you out there? Can you hear me? Are you listening anymore? Hello, God. If we're still on speaking terms, can you help me like before? I've questioned your existence. My resistance leaves me cold. Can you help me go the distance? Hello, God. Hello, hello. This old world has gone to pieces. Can we fix it? Is there time? Hate and violence just increases. We're so selfish, cruel and blind. We fight and kill each other in your name, defending you. Do you love some more than others? We're so lost and confused. Hello, God. Are you out there? Can you hear us? Are you listening anymore? Hello, God. If we're still on speaking time,
as I was saying, the real struggle is within each of us, within our society and within our global village, and that is to resist temptation and to exercise self-control, to oppose evil and to positively do good, to stand up against injustice and to champion the cause of justice, to not do bad and more than that, to positively do good, to bite our lip and more, to stand up and speak out, to not hate, indeed, to actively love, to endure, but more than that, to carry the fight, to die to ourself, and more than that, to live to Jesus, to curb our self-will, and to pray, Thy will be done. So we pray, Lord, change the world, and let it begin with me. What the world needs today, as in every generation, is people willing, at great cost to themselves, to fight the good fight, day in and day out, ceaselessly. They are the unsung heroes, the core people, the people who keep things going, upon whom the couch potatoes and the slothful parasites rely, the faithful stalwarts who keep family life together, who keep youth organisations going, who are the backbone of the life of our community, who are the stalwarts in the congregation's life and in the national life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it speaks about life being like a relay race, and the baton is passed to us by our forefathers, and we pass it on to our children. On Remembrance Sunday, we remember that we inherit a rich heritage. And at Remembrance, we don't just accept the baton, we truly honour the people before us if we copy them, and we work hard to not drop the baton while it's in our hands. Indeed, whatever we inherit from those before us, we ought to pass on with interest to those after us. So let us, in honour of those before us, work night and day with all our might to give our children and our grandchildren a better world, health of body, mind and soul, principles and values, the heritage of faith, personal knowledge of the living God Jesus. Far too often people are launched out into the turbulent ocean of life with all its currents and perils without compass or map or training or a suitable vessel. No wonder the world and individual lives perish. But thank God Jesus is on board, and in him we have the way and the truth and life. We have the light of the world, the hope of the world, the resurrection and the life. So I leave you for tonight. See you again next week. But I leave you now with the Peter Knight Singers singing Onward, Christian Soldiers.